بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin with part number 9 on the subject of the rejectionist Shia, clarifying what the Ummah needs to know concerning the creed of this sect, so that people don't fall into deceptions and or the trap of politics or emotions regarding this matter, but rather by the will of Allah stand on the firm foundation which gives allegiance to the pure Tawheed, away from Shirk, which contradicts the essence of the message of the messengers. The subject we're still discussing is their creed with respect to the Quran. And in the part 8, we talked about their false claim that the Quran is incomplete, and there is omission, and there is a missing Quran with Ali, which the other Imams also received, and so on. We presented the information concerning this matter from the books of Ahl Sunnah first, and now we will shed the light on the sources of this false claim in the books of the Shia themselves. First book in which this falsehood was recorded in is the book of Sulaym bin Qais, who died in the year 90 after Hijrah. And this book is highly praised by the Shia in verification and in praising its contents, to the extent that they mentioned that it is the Abjad of the Shia. And you know, the Abjad is the alphabetics, and that it is, as described by some of them, a secret from the secrets of the household of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as put by Agha Bazrik al-Tahrani in his book Al-Dhari'ah, volume 2, page 152. And also you may see Hamish Wasail al-Shia, volume 2, page 42, number 4. And al-Nu'mani mentioned that there is no disagreement amongst all the Shia from those who carried the knowledge and transmitted it from the Imams. There is no dispute that the book of Sulaym bin Qais al-Hilali is a foundation from the greatest foundations of usul and most and the oldest. And they attributed that whatever is in that book is a reference to the Shia. As al-Nu'mani put it in his book Al-Ghaybiyya, page 61. And al-Majlisi mentioned that it is one of the foundations of the Shia. And in that he even relates that he relates four narrations to them indicating that Ali ibn al-Husayn, and he is innocent from what they claim, that this book was read before him, and that he commented by saying Sadaqa Sulaym, Sulaym spoke the truth, as in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 1, page 156-158. Now this is a book which contains the most dangerous opinions of the Abdullah bin Saba and his sect, particularly attributing divinity to Ali and describing him with qualities only fitting to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Some of the narrations in this book addressed Ali with the following titles: Ya Awwal, O First; Ya Akhir, O Last; Ya Zahir, Most Apparent, Most High; Ya Batin, Most Near; Ya Man Huwa Bi Kulli Shay'in Alim, O Ali, the One Who is All-Knowing of All Things. And that this description came from the son to Ali, and that it was heard by Abu Bakr and Umar and the Muhajireen and the Ansar, and so they fell unconscious, then awoke after hours. This is in the book of Sulaym bin Qais al-Hilali, page 38, print of Al-A'lami, and page 31-32, the print of Al-Najaf. These attributes are the attributes which Abdullah bin Saba and his sect gave to Ali, and which was inherited by the 12 Imamite sect of the rejectionists. And as we know, these are awsaf, attributes of Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 3, 57, هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. He is the first, nothing is before him, the last, nothing is after him, the most high, nothing is above him, and the most near, nothing is nearer than him, and he is the all knower of all things. So to this extent of exaggeration and excessiveness in praising these narrations and attributing it to Ahlul Bayt, even to the household, and these statements also that was uttered or were uttered by the most senior of their shuyukh, and to the extent, as we learned earlier, considered it one of the greatest foundations and greatest secrets of Al-Muhammad, and this is a secret of the Prophet and his family. This is interesting because even in some books of the narrators in the books of Shia, considered the one who narrated this book from Sulaym as weak. And the one who reported is Aban bin Abi Ayyash. And even Aban ibn Abi Ayyash is considered weak by Ahl Sunnah. Yet they clung to what's in it. Even some of the Shia claim that the author is unknown, and some of its narrations are problematic. But they say, whatever appears to be problematic does not invalidate most of which has been reported by others, as in Al-Khawansari's book Rawdatul Jannat, volume 4, page 68. So despite all of this, the four most senior and authoritative references amongst the Shia took from this book. Al-Killini depended on it. As in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 252. And in his book, Da'aim al-Kufr. And also, their Sheikh Ibn Babawayh al-Qummi, who is nicknamed by As-Saduq. In his book, Fiman la yahdhuruhu al-Faqih. Also, in At-Tabrasi's Al-Ihtijaj, and in Al-Mufid's Ikhtisas, and in Tafsir Furat, very major. What is also interesting is that some of the Shiyukh of the Shia discredited this book, but not from the angle of the false creeds it contains. No. Listen carefully. They discredited it because of he made in it the Imams to be 13 in number. And this is a great catastrophe upon them, which threatens the very foundation of the 12 Imamites. Why? Because if this is referred to, such a book which is referred to by so many of their scholars to be the Abjad of Shia, the alphabetics of the Shia, and the reference and the secret of the secrets, and it has this information that the Imam's number is 13. So this group from amongst the Shia considered this book fabricated. Only from this angle. But remember, the most authoritative references amongst them, the four big ones, took from that book and referred to it and described it as to what we described to you earlier. This book became, despite these problems which we had mentioned, which we just mentioned, became the umda, the reference with the latter Shia, as affirmed by Al-Majlisi in his book Al-Bihar, Bihar al-Anwar, volume 1, page 32, and by Al-Hur al-Amili in his book Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 20, page 210, and in others. In this book, there are only two reports. In Sulaim's book, there are only two narrations claiming that the Quran has been changed. An omission occurred in it. Two narrations only. And they were not even so explicit in the wording. What is very amazing is that these narrations kind of amplified and sprouted other narrations in the books of the latter Shia, and things became more explicitly stated concerning what they claim to be the lie, what they claim to be the incompleteness of the Quran and distortion. So in the 3rd century after Hijra, this lie was added to. And their Sheikh Ali bin Ibrahim al-Qummi, who is the Sheikh of Al-Killini, who is Al-Killini? The author of Al-Kafi, which is like Sahih al-Bukhari, with respect to us, to them. And filled his tafsir with this lie. Check, for example, for yourself, Tafsir al-Qummi, volume 1, pages 48, 100, 110, 118, 122, 123, 142, 159, volume 2, page 21, 111, 125, and others. And he also stated this in the beginning, in the introduction of his Tafsir, volume 1, page 10. and their Sheikh Al-Kashani admitted that Al-Qummi's tafsir is filled with it. And also their Sheikh An-Nuri At-Tabrasi said that Al-Qummi stated this creed in the beginning of his tafsir and filled his book with his narrations despite his statement in the beginning that he will not mention in his book except narrations from his shuyukh and his trustworthy references, end of quote. And this is mentioned in At-Tabrasi's Fasl al-Khitab, paper 13 from the manuscript and paper 26 from the printed one. Despite this fact that this book has been filled with such heretic claims, nevertheless, the Kabir of ulama al-Shia nowadays, the authority of the Shia nowadays, al-Khu'i, you know what he does? He authenticated the narrations of al-Qummi, all of them. See, Mu'jam Rijal al-Hadith lil-Khu'i, volume 163. After al-Qummi, his student al-Killini, who died in 328 or 329, who is nicknamed by the Shia as Thiqatul Islam, the trustworthy of Islam, and the author of the most authentic book to them from their four reliable quote-unquote books regarding narrations. Al-Killini, in his book Al-Kafi, reported much of this falsehood in many places of his book Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 413 and afterwards. And the numbers of these narrations are as follows: 8, 23, 25, 26, 27, 28, 31, 32, 45, 58, 59, 60, 64. And also in volume 2, in many places, explicitly stating this falsehood. Despite he claimed in the beginning that he will report only that which is, quote, authentic, as in his introduction. And that's why those who wrote about the Shia mentioned that he was on the conviction that the Quran was distorted and that omission occurred in it, because he reported narrations carrying this meaning in his book Al-Kafi and did not criticize them. See Al-Kashani, Tafsir al-Safi, the introduction, 6th one, page 52, and Al-A'lami, and page 14, printed in Tehran. And Al-Kafi, this book Al-Kafi al-Killini, with respect to the shuyukh of the Rafida, is what? The highest reference in authenticity. Why? Because they consider that Al-Killini lived to the great four scholars, the reliable ones of the Shia, who claim connection to their absent awaited Mahdi. So he lived with them in Baghdad. Nevertheless, Ibn Babawayh al-Qummi, ruled that what is narrated regarding the distortion in the Quran is fabricated. Yet it is in what? In Al-Kafi, which they describe him as we mentioned earlier. Another one, Al-Majlisi, in his book Mir'at al-Uqul, ruled that some of the narrations of Al-Kafi were weak, but also he attributed authenticity to some of the reports concerning the distortion. And from that, what he authenticated is the following narration. That the Quran authenticated according to them, أن القرآن الذي جاء به جبريل عليه السلام إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم 17,000 آية. That the Quran which جبريل عليه السلام brought to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was 17,000 verses. And we know that the verses of the Quran, as it is known, does not exceed 16,000, except a few verses. However, did this matter settle there? No. Mirza Hussein ibn Muhammad Taqi al-Nuri Tabrasi, one of the great court scholars of Al-Najaf. Yes, yes. As I said, with a few. And we came to know that because of the magnification of the Shia of this An-Nuri al-Tabrasi, who died in 1320, they buried him in the most, quote, sacred spot to them. He asserted in his book The Decisive Speech, in affirming the distortion of the book of the Lord of the Lords, he asserted that this is a matter which is in agreement amongst the Shia. And he presented more than 1,000 quote proofs. Of what? Of verses which he said were omitted. And that he said this was something agreed upon with most of the books of the Shia that are reliable. And this constituted the greatest scandal to his people. And exposed the greatest crime of his sect. So, did he expose the concealment? Yet it is in their text that the taqiyya, the concealment, shall continue until the return of their Mahdi? Or did he oppose the Imam's commands and his path? So this is what the Shia left us. So, up till now, therefore, there are two major conclusions. We learned about the esoteric interpretations they resorted to, so that the public, the common ones, if they ask them, where is the statement in the Quran concerning Ali and the Imams and the legacy and the leadership and the rhyme of the 12 Imams, they tell the common, listen, this is for the special. The Quran, the apparent, every apparent, there is a hidden meaning to it, known only to the Imams and the followers of the Imams and the higher in rank and the elite. Because there is no proof for this falsehood. And the other one is, since the Quran spread amongst the Ummah does not contain their claim and falsehood, so they casted doubt. And attributed a special Quran with the Imams. And their commons are attached to the Imams. So there will be a higher attachment because they have something different. So after this explicit assertion by An-Nuri al-Tabrasi, we come to the conclusion that we are dealing with a very dangerous sect concerning the most important foundation of belief in Islam. That is the belief in the sources in the Quran. One wonders now, and in fact one shouldn't wonder, why when the rejectionist Shia invite people to their sect, you will find the most important focus is on the Imamite and Imam, because this is the deen. They don't invite people through the Quran. The words and the statements of the Imams, this is the first and foremost. Because then Quran does not contain such false magnifications of the Imams and of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because these things are in sharp contradiction to the purity of Tawheed in the Quran. This concludes this part. Inshallah ta'ala, the next part we can talk about, is there a secret Quran with the Shia? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard the Ummah from all forms of fitan, the apparent and the hidden, and to take out the misguided to the shore of safety, away from the turbulence of confusion. والحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين، وأسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبعد عن المسلمين. I ask him the most high to save the Muslims from the fitna of all deviant sects. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك ربي وأتوب إليك.